morning, everyone. The Mary Griffiths Show underway. It's warm, but it's a little bit cloudy. And boy, this morning, the fog, when I was driving in, I thought I wouldn't make it for a little while there. But I knew my way, so the car just kind of guided me along. It is, what, the third Tuesday? I think this is the third Tuesday.
It is the third Tuesday.
And that means Dr. Brandon Breening is here. He is in practice at the Franklin Wellness Center. And we've invited him to come on once a week or once a month to talk about general health issues. And today we're going to talk about something that a lot of people suffer from, and that is back pain. So you've got you do all this reading in these highfalutin journals,
right?
And
right.
You find out some good information to pass along. So take it away, Dr. Brandon.
So I was last week on the 14th or so, Valentine's Day actually, the Annals of Internal Medicine, a nice journal that a lot of medical physicians.
So you and your wife sat down and were reading the Annals of Internal Medicine on Valentine's Day?
No. I found it later. But it was a big hubbub among the chiropractic community because they just put out clinical guidelines for managing low back pain from the American College of Physicians. And in those guidelines, they're basically, and I posted a link on my Facebook this morning with the actual article, if you want to go and read that, but they're getting away from prescription medication as an early intervention. Used to be you'd go in and you'd say, I've got low back pain, and oh, here's some hydrocodone, and off you go. But
and then they wonder why everybody's got opioid addictions,
right,
because
right.
if you've got lower back pain and that... And you're not trying to cure it. You're just trying to treat it.
Right.
Well, you can't take hydrocodone for 30 years. You can't
right.
rely on that.
Right. And, you know, not every doctor would do
sure.
that. But, you know, we get these rules because somebody did something at some point. So they actually, and this would have never happened 30 years ago, they recommended spinal treatment, spinal manipulation, which is what they call a chiropractic adjustment.
Very good. So the medical profession is now coming to grips with the fact that in treating people holistically, that one of the early interventions for back pain should be chiropractic treatment, because it can possibly, and probably maybe, if you want to use that word, really relieve your pain and cure the problem. Because if something's extremely out of whack, putting it back into proper alignment will solve the problem.
Will often help, yes. And, you know... Okay, Gus is here this morning.
Yes, right. We have his assistant with us today.
If the bone is out of place and that's what's causing the problem, then putting the bone back will generally help with the problem. If you'll sometimes, you know, one of the things they mention in there is the biggest adverse effect of a chiropractic adjustment is generally muscle soreness. And that happens. You get adjusted, and sometimes you're sore afterwards. But the next day is when you really notice the difference.
You feel better. So. Yeah, it's so intriguing. And again, it's nice to see that chiropractors refer to medical doctors, and that medical doctors can now refer to chiropractors. Because I know that my husband had back surgery. My husband continues to be a patient of yours. And I remember when he was diagnosed, I said, well, let's go see the chiropractor and see what they say. And at Franklin Clinic, they said, oh, you've got to have surgery. This is not a problem we can solve. It's not a misalignment. It's a complete breakdown of your vertebrae, bone and everything. So, yes, chiropractic is not the answer to everything. But if you've got back pain and you haven't tried chiropractic, you really have missed one of the possible solutions to your back pain.
You know, I always tell people, it's worth a shot, right? What have you got to lose if the worst thing that happens is you don't get better and you have to have surgery or you have to do some other course of treatment. The best thing that happens is you don't have to have surgery.
Right.
You don't have to go through all that pain and rehabilitation afterwards.
Well, and I was just on the internet this morning talking about a different medical condition for my own personal, you know, revelation. And one of the things that was on there that it talked a lot about was taking ibuprofen, acetaminophen, even aspirin. And so when people are saying, well, I've got all these aches and pains, but if I take an Advil or if I take a Tylenol or if I take an aspirin, it's better. Great. But if you're doing that twice a day and you've been doing that for 2 years, your liver is
or your
saying,
kidney.
Or your kidneys are saying, you don't even know what you're doing to us.
Right.
And so that's why it's so important to find the cause of these problems.
Exactly.
If you don't find the cause of why you have back pain, you'll only mask the pain by covering it up with a drug. That's not solving anything.
Like Grandma always used to say, you know, if your hand's on a hot stove, you can take Tylenol and your hand will feel better. Or you could take your hand off the hot stove.
Right. So. You got to take a lot of Tylenol to make your hand feel better on hot stove. And that, I think the other thing is too, you know, that's not to say that you will not tell people to maybe take some kind of over-the-counter pain medication every once in a while, because let's face it, none of us like to be in pain, and when we are in pain, we tend to tense up.
Yep.
And that's part of the problem when we're in a traffic accident, or we fall off of a stepladder, or we slip on the ice, or whatever. That's the problem. Our body tenses up, and then we get locked in that position, and we come to a chiropractor, and it's like, don't touch me, it hurts. Don't pinch, it hurts. Well, it's going to hurt until it feels better, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, low back pain is a variety of things. I think a lot of people have sciatic pain. That's that big nerve that runs down from your back, from your spine, all the way to, you know, your toes. Why is that so often a source of pain for people? Why does your vertebra get out of place at that juncture so much?
Well, the thing about your low back is, this goes into kind of mapping out your brain. So in your brain, there is a map on your brain for every single part of your body, okay? And if you look at what they call the motor or the sensory homunculus, which is a drawing that represents how big things are in your brain compared to how big they actually are, your hands are huge, your lips are huge, your...
Right, so your
special organs aren't as big as you think they are.
The part of your brain that controls those things is much larger than some of the things that are larger.
Like your low back. Like your low back has a tiny area. So your brain doesn't have a great idea what's going on in your low back. So it will send pain signals up because it wants you to look at something in your low back. It can't figure out what's wrong. You think if you prick your finger, you're going to know exactly where that is. But if something's going on in your low back, there's a much bigger area of where it can be. So we tend to injure it more because the brain doesn't have as good a control over it.
Well, the other thing is I know that as a chiropractic doctor, you're very interested in the brain. In fact, that's really what you're specializing in because of obviously the nerves that run down your spinal column control every aspect of your body, but it all comes down from your brain.
Right.
So again, healthy brain, healthy body.
Exactly.
And if somebody, I always am amazed because I read these accident reports every day. There was a crash and the car rolled over and the driver said refused medical treatment or the driver didn't suffer any injuries.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Why do people know they have to take it to Hilbeans, but they can't figure out that if it's smashed in the top of your pickup truck, honey, you might have had some damage.
Yeah.
Whether you don't have to be bleeding profusely. In fact, that's the problem. You don't bleed profusely.
Right. Well, you might.
You can.
You might be internally and not know.
Internally,
it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You hear about these people that have accidents and later they end up dead because they had a blood clot that flew up to their brain. You know, it's always best, no matter how minor the accident, to at least get checked out because it depends on... There are lots of things that can go wrong with an accident, and you don't ever know what you've got until later. And there's often a honeymoon period after an accident where your body feels really great because your adrenaline was flowing.
It sends all those endorphins in there. It says, this is going to hurt.
Yep.
Let's send some pain relief in.
Yep. So you are feeling pretty great, and then two days later, you're really hurting, and... It goes back to that accident. So.
Okay. Well, folks, if you're ever in an accident, call your friendly local chiropractor of your choice. You might call the Franklin Wellness Center and ask for Dr. Brandon Breening. He's the third generation of his family in practice there, and the fourth generation is in the studio with us today having all kinds of fun. Gus, do you want to say goodbye to everybody? Can you say bye-bye?
Say goodbye.
Say bye-bye.
No,
nope.
Sammy will do it.
Sammy, will you do it? Can you say bye-bye?
Do it at the same time. Ready? One, two, three.
Bye-bye.
Very good. Okay. Very good. We will have Quincy Mayor Kyle Moore up in just a moment. Ah, Mary Chapin Carpenter taking us into the next segment of the Mary Griffith Show. And we are talking with Mayor Kyle Moore. I don't know how long, well, I know how long I've been doing it, but I think for over 20 years now, it's kind of been a tradition after the State of the City address for the Mayor of Quincy to come forward and be on the Mary Griffith Show and kind of recap what was talked about. You gave the State of the City address last Friday. And so, you know, we have less time now than you had to deliver the whole speech. But I want to give you a chance to, you know, in your own words, in your own agenda, talk about what the state of the city is, good, bad, indifferent, whatever, great, and what are the things that are working well and what we need improvement on. So it's the report card that you talked about
the
scorecard. Yeah.
Well, good morning, Mary. Thanks for having me on the show. It's always great to see you.
It is great to have the mayor on every time you're here. Absolutely.
Yes. So, you know, we talked about the state of the city on Friday, and I talked about, you know, the state of our city is really strong. And one of the things that I wanted to do during the speech was to take a look back on the state of the city in 2014, highlight some of the goals that we wanted to accomplish. Because oftentimes with the rhythm of our everyday lives and what's on social media, we kind of lose track of what we set out to do many years ago. And so I highlighted some of our accomplishments. You know, 4 years ago, I talked about the commitment to a proactive commitment to post-secondary education. That's getting a degree outside of high school. And that my term in office, there would be a commitment to bring together leaders of the parochial schools, public schools, and our community college to work to get more kids to stay in Quincy, enroll in a field that's in demand, and hopefully connect them with employers so they can have a job at the end. And that's a goal that I laid out 4 years ago. As you know, last year we rolled out the Quincy Promise program. It is a 4-year pilot program funded by our business community and private donations, which goal is to get high school students that graduate from 2016 to 19 to stay in the city of Quincy, enroll at John Wood Community College, in a field that's in demand, and connect them with local employers. And today we have 27 freshmen at John Wood Community College who are enrolled there tuition-free thanks to the Quincy Promise.
I want to applaud you for that because, first of all, some people say, well, what in the world does the mayor have to do with education? That's not in his purview at all. But economic development certainly is. So you've taken this and taken a stretch of what the mayor's responsible for and stretched out to find these other cooperative agreements. Because, again, you can have a plan, but if you don't get the cooperation, which you sought, and you've been very successful at that.
That's right. So I cite a study by Georgetown University that said 60% of job openings by 2018 will require some form of post-high school education. So then that made me, you know, go to Grediff and look and say, what's our levels right now? And right now, only 51% of our workforce has some form of post-secondary education. And so when I went to our businesses, the number one thing that they raised their hand and said that we need is workforce development. And so you bring those groups together and say, okay, if this is a serious issue, we need to address it in the city of Quincy, and that's what the mayor should be doing, is bringing people together to find proactive solutions. And we wanted to make sure that it didn't take any tax dollars, also didn't take away from any of our other wonderful charitable organizations. So it's dollars that I just raised privately by picking up the phone, and we're very lucky to have so many businesses participate in that program.
Okay, so you get an A-plus on that.
Well, thank you.
And you're still, I mean, obviously you're seeking a second term. Mm. We're not going to talk about that a lot today. We will in the months to come, the weeks to come. But that's got to be, you got to give yourself pretty much a big check that off the list and hope to keep going. This will be something you hope to continue, I'm sure.
That's it. So the goal of the pilot program, we measure our outcomes. So we're going to measure how many students enroll in the programs, how many of them complete their certificates, and more importantly, how many of them stay in Quincy and find careers. And if that's a success, I think we can use that to go raise funds, you know, in past year for the program.
I think it's a credit to the youthfulness of our mayor that the first thing on his agenda was something that isn't brick and mortar. You know,
yeah.
I mean, yes, you want good streets, you want all this other stuff. We'll talk about that. But thinking about something that really is going to impact the future far down the road, and I think the fact that you are younger, except for Dave Nissen maybe, but you're younger than a lot of mayors have been, you realize that you're growing along with your constituency. So that's a good thing that you've been able to accomplish. What else has been
up? Well, 4 years ago, I talked about the need for the city to extend our enterprise zone. So our enterprise zone is our number one incentive program that we have for businesses who want to expand here or want to locate here. Our enterprise zone has been responsible or has helped the businesses retain over 16,000 jobs in the city of Quincy over 18 years, create over 4,000 jobs, and in 2014 it was expiring. And so we had to get our economic team together, come up with a new program, develop it with all of our taxing bodies in the area, and we had to propose it and compete with other proposals across the state. We were fortunate then the next year that the governor approved of our enterprise zone, signed it into law, and in 2014 at the State of the City, I said that I knew of companies who were ready, willing, and wanting to expand in the city of Quincy, but they had to know these tax incentives were going to be in place for them to do it. And lo and behold, what have we had over the last 4 or 5 months? We've had countless job announcements, expansion announcements. We had coal wholesale. To give you an idea of the relationship between the city of Quincy and how we aid companies in economic development, when we proposed our new enterprise zone, they knew they wanted to build a new warehouse on Highway 57, but their property was not in the enterprise zone region. And so as part of the new enterprise zone application, we put that property in there. And we were fortunate then when it was signed into law that then they could move forward with their plans. And now they're building a new new warehouse that's going to bring 20 jobs to our economy. We talk about ADM. ADM is a $43 million expansion and modernization of their plants. Many people don't know this, but we had to compete with other ADM projects, not only in the United States, but globally. And so, you know, if we did not have that enterprise zone program in place, we would not have been competitive. And then, of course, 2 weeks ago, we had Napi Manufacturing announce they were building a new building and going to be hiring 250 jobs by March 1st. All of those things are, one, due to the private investments and private money investing in the city of Quincy, but also the fact that we had this enterprise zone program that could aid them and make it more cost-effective to invest in the city of Quincy.
And to explain to our listeners, that is something you need cooperation from the state of Illinois. That's not just something the city of Quincy can't say, here's our enterprise zone.
That's it.
The state has to decree. You help them get the boundaries, but the state has to decree. And then again, the wheels of bureaucracy move slowly. So here, 2 years later now, we're starting to see the fruition of that, because once they've got the guarantee that they're going to get those tax incentives, there it goes. Now, you know, it's interesting because a lot of things have happened. Say coal, for example, coal wholesale. New roads have been repaved. A lot of things have happened to help that privately held company be more successful. As the mayor, I don't know that many people would complain about this because they see the jobs that are being created. But what about people who drive by that beautiful Napide manufacturing plant out there and at between 24th and 30th and say, why the heck should I, you know, give them a tax credit for them to build a factory? What's that do for me?
Well, it provides long-term economic stability for your city and growth because, let's face it, Napide or coal, ADM can locate anywhere.
They're businessmen
and women who are looking at the best return of their dollar for the investment. And so they, like any company, will say, what's the most cost-effective way for me to expand and get the job done or for the company? And so that's the benefit. But it also benefits everybody. If you look at coal wholesale, we've had two projects with them to repave and redo streets, 2nd Street and York Street, that brought together $1 million worth of upgrades for infrastructure. And as a part of that agreement, coal wholesale agreed to hire 44 jobs for that. So altogether, it's 64 jobs over the last 3 years that coal wholesale has been a partner with the city of Quincy in creating. And I always remind people it's the businesses that create jobs. But what
not
we can do,
right.
Yeah, it's not government, but what we can do is go to businesses and say, what do you need to grow? How can we be a partner? And if they, have a wish list, let's work together, because we want Quincy to be a friendly environment. We want those folks to go into their trade shows and say, you know what, my city, it's not hard to build in the city. It's not hard to get something done. And if we call the mayor up or the planning department, they answer the phone, they get the job done, and we're not caught in an endless cycle of red tape.
Yeah. You know, just on any given day, the Earharts, the Napides, the Oakleys could go, you know, on a winter day when it's 5 feet of snow here in Quincy, they could get an economic development call from someplace on Gulf Shores, Alabama, and they could say, you know what, let's build our factory down there. So we always have to remain competitive. So the effort to keep students, the brain, to eliminate the brain drain, the enterprise zone to encourage, and it's working, obviously. What are some other things?
Well, we talked about in the 2014 State of the City Address, getting our city finances in order, and then what we could do and how that would pay dividends for the taxpayers. And so we really tackled two out-of-control spending things in our budget. Our workers' compensation costs were growing at a rate of 16% per year. Health insurance cost was growing at a rate of 8% per year. We worked with the city council and administration to revamp those programs and have been able to save significant dollars there. We've also talked about in the 2014 State of the City Address adopting a five-year comprehensive infrastructure plan, having a long-range plan for how we invest in streets, sewers, and sidewalks. And now, Mary, in actual dollars invested in infrastructure, 3 years before that 2014 State of the City Address, we had actually invested about $6.5 million in streets, sewers, and sidewalks. In the 3 years since then, we've invested $13 million in streets, sewers, and sidewalks. So by having a long-term plan and paying what we can afford when we get extra money in, addressing our pension obligations, addressing capital spending, we've been able to invest more in the services that constituents expect.
You've doubled that, and that's great. And I think one of the things that mayors always have to deal with is you're always burdened by what has come before you. We've got water mains breaking all over the city of Quincy, and probably that's not a Kyle Moore or a John Springer, mm-hmm. maybe even a Schultz or Hagstrom or Nissen problem. We have, as a city, tended to neglect our older infrastructure until we're getting to where we're doing a lot of emergency repairs now. So some of this infrastructure that you're working on, you've got a plan so that you're not paving a new street and then digging up the sewer under it. Yeah,
that's it. We talked about that last time I was on the show. We're now, if we're repaving a street and we notice the sewer is 75, 100 years old, if we have the money, let's go ahead and replace that. So that way, 3 years down the road, with the sewer breaks or there's a water main, repair that needs to happen, we're not tearing up a perfectly good new street. And, you know, mayors before me have all made significant investment in infrastructure. Mayor Spring had the Neighborhood Enhancement Program, which invested $1 million in all the wards. I believe Mayor Hagstrom, did the penny tax, which helped with capital. So we've all tried to invest as much as we can in infrastructure, but it's about what you can afford. And so I think that we've been able to invest wisely. We've been able to, again, almost double, what we did before. But again, it's not calling into on the carpet any other administration.
Right.
We're just blessed that we've been able to get these out of control spending costs down in the city of Quincy and then use those savings to invest in other areas. And public safety is also one thing we talked about.
We're going to talk about, we got to take a break, but the health insurance thing, how does that work? Because didn't you kind of form your own little clinic, your own little city clinic? The way to control costs is to kind of say, look, if there's a problem, here, go here.
So first thing we did is we examined all of our options for our health insurance plan, which included looking at HSAs, and we're a self-funded plan, and so we revamped and went with a new company on that. And then we also partnered with Quincy Medical Group to open up an employee clinic where now our employees can go to that clinic 7 days a week, and if they go to the clinic and it's a regular checkup, they have no out-of-pocket expenses. Well, what does that do? That reduces the cost of emergency room visits, not only to our employees, but our insurance fund. And so we've been able to save and drive down claims for the city of Quincy.
And before our break, I ask, how can I get a job with the city of Quincy? Because Quincy Medical Group owns me, and I think they will for the rest of my life. Mayor Kyle Moore, my guest today, the state of the city is good. And he says it's gotten better since he's been the mayor. So we'll talk about that. So far, I haven't disagreed with him. Golly gee, don't tell me. Could it be a love fest going on?
We got this on record now,
oh,
Mary.
Oh, my goodness.
Everything we got.
Kyle Moore and Mary Griffith saying everything we got the hard way. Absolutely. Mayor Kyle Moore, the state of the city, we've talked about health insurance costs being maintained, a five-year infrastructure plan, which, of course, really, to fully fund that, really, for everything we need, we'd have to triple property taxes, but we know that's not going to happen. But let's get right into police and firemen. I mean, it's pretty shocking, frankly, when the incumbent sitting mayor has the police and firefighters union come out endorsing your opponent. I don't want to turn this political because we'll talk to you later about your candidacy, but there's some real big problems with pensions and with staffing, trying to keep staffing at full place. this is going to be a problem for the next mayor as well. So where are we now, and is it going to get better, or is it going to get worse before it gets better?
Well, this is what I talked about in the State of the City. 4 years ago, we talked about a need to really start tackling our pension obligations. And we've worked over the last 4 years with the City Council to fund our police and fire pensions above and beyond the state minimum when we can afford it. And so I took a look back at our decisions over the last 4 years, and we've actually worked with the City Council to put an additional $1.5 million into our police and fire pension funds above the state minimum, above their ask. Both of the police and fire departments' budgets have increased in, during my term in office, but we have to be reasonable with our growth rates. Any department, whether it's the public safety, comptroller's office, IT, you know, I ask when we start seeing our revenue projections, I ask that they not grow at a faster rate than our citizens' pocketbook. You know, citizens have to be able to afford our government, and we cannot spend all of our reserves down and then all of a sudden, you know, figure out how we can get the money, continue operating. And so we will continue in every department to look for innovative ways that we can invest in their departments, increase investments when we can afford it, and when it makes sense, when there's a return on investment for the taxpayers.
Well, it's a tough job, Mayor Moore, because, you know, we want police and firefighters. We want those stations up, but we want a full police force with all the crime. We want a sewer plant that treats our water. We want a water plant that treats our water. I mean, we really, it seems to me that we're reaching this, you know, no matter who's the next mayor. There's some real big issues, and it's got some big money attached to it.
We all, you know, I certainly have had the ability the last really 8 years as an alderman and then as the mayor to see the fine work that our men and women do in uniform protecting our city. And you respect the work, you honor the work, you tip your cap. But just asking a department head to not grow at a faster rate than our pocketbooks doesn't mean you don't honor their service.
Right.
And that's the difficult thing that the city council and the mayor has to weigh. And if we can take the politics out of it and realize that everybody is trying to do the best with limited funds and invest your money, Mary, and the taxpayers' money wisely, that's what this is all about. And so, unfortunately, politicizing and that doesn't do us any good, doesn't solve those problems. And that's what I think, hopefully, in our city, we can avoid the pitfalls of what's happened in our state and our nation and really have an honest dialogue about how we can continue to grow our city in the future.
Mayor Kyle Moore, never enough time, but you'll be back. Don't worry. He's running for re-election, so we know we'll hear him again. Thank you very much. And the state of our city, as you say, is in better condition than it was when you started. So even I have to admit that. Thank you very
Mayor
Kyle Moore.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Hy-Vee delivering groceries to your front door. Or if picking them up at the store sounds better to you, we'll bring them right to your car. With Hy-Vee Aisles Online, you can order anything from the comfort of your couch. And let us do the grocery shopping for you. Sound good? Then you'll love the sound of this. It's free with a minimum $100 order. Save time, shop online. Try HyveeAislesOnline.com today.
Sandy, your new home looks awesome. What do you have left to do?
Just some trim work, some odds and ends, you know.
Oh, I love this light fixture.
Oh, I know. It's my favorite, too. Came from Accurate Home Audio.
I'm sorry, Accurate Home Audio? They put in my home control system, but I didn't know they had lighting.
They do now. They sat down with Bob and me, and we picked out what we needed room by room.
Beautiful.
Projectors, speakers, whole house remote control, and now custom lighting. All at Accurate Home Audio, 409 North 30th, Quincy.
I can buy gently used books at Secondhand Pros inside Quincy Public Library. Choose from hardback, paperback, fiction, and nonfiction for adults, teens, kids, and all at great prices. Secondhand Pros also offers fresh hot coffee and hot chocolate for sale. Secondhand Pros is open from 10 to 4, Tuesday through Saturday. Secondhand Pros is a volunteer staff shop managed by the Friends of the Quincy Library. Support QPL services by shopping at Secondhand Pros inside Quincy Public Library.
Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Just a very few moments left, but we want to get these people on. Quincy University Fine Arts and Communication Department will present Colors Sunday, February 26th, 2 o'clock at the Connie Nieman Center for Music, 18th and Seminary Road. Yes, they just had a concert on Sunday, and yes, they're having another one again. And so we are joined today by the director, and tell us a little bit about what's going to be happening. What kind of things are happening at this concert?
Well, this is a concept concert that I've wanted to put together for a while, and I wanted to collaborate both the musical arts and the visual arts. So we are going to have our QU professor, Carl Warma, on stage live sketching during our concert, and there's going to be an art show afterwards, and all of our songs have colors in them, the word colors. So in the program, there's going to be kind of a game, I suppose, to see if you can find all the colors that we talk about in our songs.
So, like, black is the color of my true love's hair.
That's
which you're probably
what we're doing.
Are you
yes.
really? Well, I will be a soloist if you need
okay.
me. So this is going to be great. So, and then, inspired by the vocalization of your students, the artist will be dually performing.
Right.
Just a different way, yeah. Okay, well, I love this name, Rayson Coelho. What a name. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what's your favorite song or part of this performance that's happening this Sunday.
Oh, well, I'm a junior vocal performance major and education major at Quincy University, and I come from California. Let's see, my favorite part of this song. Our vocal jazz group, I think the songs we're doing in there are probably my favorite. We're doing... Orange Colored Sky is probably my favorite jazz piece we're going to be performing because, well, I get my first ever collegiate solo.
Wow. Congratulations. And all the way from California, what brought you to Quincy University?
Well, my uncle, Dr. Joseph Coelho, actually works as a biologist at the school, so he came out one summer and gave me the spiel, and 2,000 miles later, here I am.
Okay, so Coelho, I know how to spell it now, right? Coelho, is that right?
Coelho.
Coelho. Well, I don't know how to spell it. And Emily Cintron was just here last week because, you know, apparently Quincy University can't survive without you. So tell us a little bit about your favorite part of all this.
My favorite part of all of it is definitely there's a girls piece we're singing in a chamber choir called Colorblind, and it features 6 different soloists. I'm one of them, and it just sounds so cool, and it's cool to hear like all of our voices, like the voices of my peers and stuff, all blending together to create awesome music.
Okay. Now, you talked about this being a concept, Amy, and Quincy University, it seems, collaborating within the department, sometimes they don't do that, and they should. So this is a great collaboration to bring students of diversity together, too, because a lot of them are not maybe music majors, but they have an interest in singing.
Well, and in the fall, we did a collaboration with our English department. We featured music, poetry that's been written, or poetry that has music written to it and that kind of thing. Next year, we're thinking about, you're going to love this, we're thinking about a history, an American history, not like an Americana, but music that was written for a specific historical moment. You know, something like Tenting on the Old Campground
right.
for the Civil War.
The Star-Spangled Banner.
The Star Spangled Banner. Yeah. So we're going to be working with Megan Bacardi of the History Department and really put together just a neat experience for our concert goers.
Well, you're smart. If you do it at the end, you'll get a standing ovation automatically. Everybody will rise for Francis Scott Keyes. From the War of 1812. We want to encourage you to go to this collaborative concert. It's going to be fantastic. There will be singers on stage and somebody sketching and doing their artwork at the same time. It gets underway at 2 o'clock. Now, the last concert was at 3, so this is at 2.
Right.
And it's, of course, at the corner of 18th and Seminary Road. It's absolutely free of charge at the Connie Nieman Center. And, again, a beautiful take. And all of the songs are themed around colors. And Black is the Color of My True Love's Hair is a truly wonderful song. Good for picking that.
Well, you know, we had to do it, right?
We had to do it.
Yeah.
That's all we have time for. Great to meet all of you, and good luck with your concert.
Thank you.
Thank you.